OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/Wall Street.
The House is preparing to impeach President Trump for a second time.
Impeachment is a big step, and a lot of Republicans are grappling with whether to go with impeachment.
We'll debrief with one of our correspondents who covers Congress to see what may be happening behind the scenes. Plus, we're tracking the performance of tech stocks as well as looking ahead to earnings. And the shellfish surplus down under. We'll look at why lobster has become an affordable luxury for some. It's Wednesday, January 13th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is what's news.
On this vote, the yeas are 223, the nays are 205. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
House Democrats passed a resolution demanding Vice President Mike Pence use the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office, a move the vice president rejected. The WSJ Siobhan Hughes with a look ahead to the impeachment vote expected today.
The situation now sets up a vote in the House of Representatives on impeaching President Trump. That measure is already picking up Republican support, setting in motion a Senate trial for President Trump at an indeterminate date.
President Trump on Tuesday denied there was anything improper about the remarks he made before the riot at the Capitol. We'll take a closer look at the politics behind the impeachment effort a bit later in the podcast. President Trump's YouTube channel has been suspended. The company said it was locking his channel for at least 7 days. The move comes after YouTube removed videos that it said violated its policies against content it believes could incite violence. Facebook and Twitter recently made similar decisions. President-elect Joe Biden is expected to choose Gary Gensler to lead the Securities and Exchange Commission, according to people familiar with the decision. They also said the choice of Gensler, a former financial regulator and Goldman Sachs executive, wasn't final and could still change. Gensler declined to comment. The U.S. reported its highest number of deaths from COVID-19 in a single day. More than 4,300 people died on Tuesday, according to data compiled by Johns Hopkins University. The nation's total death toll has now surpassed 380,000. And starting January 26th, a CDC order will require all international airline passengers to show proof of a negative COVID-19 test before boarding flights to the U.S. CDC Director Robert Redfield said in a statement that testing doesn't eliminate all risk, but can make travel safer when combined with other precautions, such as wearing masks. The markets made some gains after a sluggish start to the week, yet tech stocks are still facing some challenges. Let's break this down with markets columnist Mike Bird. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mark.
Mike, if we look at the session yesterday, Facebook and Twitter among the tech stocks seeing a slip.
Yeah, so the social media companies in general are taking a little bit of a beating over what's going on politically in the US. Obviously, they've found themselves right in the middle of this fight about whether certain politicians are being censored, whether deplatforming Donald Trump was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. We're actually in a weird period market-wise where you'd have been better off owning the S&P 500 broadly for the last 12 months rather than Facebook. Facebook now performing worse than the S&P generally. It hasn't really done that for a lot of the last 10 years, to be honest. It's done very well. So this is a little bit of a rare period.
On another note, we're entering earnings season this week with Delta Airlines and JP Morgan Chase reporting this week. What's the feeling concerning expectations now that we're well into the pandemic?
So for a lot of last year, investors were basically willing to look through to almost completely ignore what was happening in company earnings on the basis that they wanted to know what would happen in a year, in 2 years, rather than what was happening right then. Now that era is ending a little bit. People are a bit slightly more interested in what the earnings look like. For something like an airline, it's really, you know, not just how much business they're doing, but what their financial state will be going into what we hope is the end of the pandemic coming out of, for example, this summer into the rest of the year. For something like a bank, it's looking how it's positioned in terms of the lending that it did during the pandemic, how sustainable that all is. People will be paying slightly more attention to these earnings than they did last year. We're still not on the other side of this when they'll really be looking at how banks and airlines deal with the recovery, but people being a little bit more forensic about what's happening.
Mike Bird, many thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Just ahead, we'll look at the key questions surrounding efforts to impeach the president a second time. We'll be right back.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, impeachment proceedings are expected to begin today at the U.S. Capitol. We want to take a closer look at what to expect and the politics of it all with our congressional correspondent, Natalie Andrews. Natalie, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start in the House. This is an indictment of the president. How do you expect things to unravel?
This has moved very fast. The House is going to debate on Wednesday. Expect a lot of back and forth, a lot of heat on the House floor, and mid-afternoon, later in the day, they will take a vote and pass what looks like one article of impeachment against the president, accusing him of inciting violence.
And then the next step after that is what?
House leadership will then decide when to send over the article of impeachment to the Senate. Once it's sent to the Senate, it triggers an automatic trial for the next few session days. And there is debate among lawmakers as to whether or not they want to send it over right away, because that could put the Senate in a trial just as Joe Biden takes the presidency, and he has a long agenda he wants to accomplish. So Democrats are strategizing as to when they want to actually send the article of impeachment to the Senate and start this. The number three Democrat on Sunday suggested they could wait 100 days. It's really unprecedented.
So the bottom line is the timetable is unknown.
The timetable is very unknown.
Let's talk about the pressure facing lawmakers. We have seen this very visible response by corporate America, halting donations in light of the riot. How big of an influence will donors have on decision making?
Certainly, there is money in politics and money talks, whether lawmakers like it or not, whether voters like it or not. And we've seen in the past few days that corporate America has said that they would not continue donations to these lawmakers. They were Republicans who voted against the certification of the Electoral College, or who objected to certain states being certified. And I wouldn't expect them to vote for impeachment themselves. They're largely allies of President Trump. But it could put some pressure on people, some of the Republicans who are more centrist and who are seeing what happens and possibly want to vote to support impeachment.
We know Democrats are unified, but there are some differences of opinion among Republicans. How big of a divide, how big of a variance is there, and will Republicans be lobbying each other?
Republicans are definitely trying to grapple with this. If you put your head where a lawmaker was on Wednesday, when these rioters broke into the Capitol, these people thought they were going to be part of a mass casualty event. They were very worried that they or their colleagues were going to die. If you put yourself there and then think about their mindset, a lot of these Republicans do feel as though the president has a role in this and do feel as though the president should be held accountable in some way.
impeachment is a big step, and a lot of Republicans are grappling with whether to go with impeachment. Some have suggested that censure would be better, or a resolution denying the president post-presidential privileges. There's a lot of things the Republicans are debating, and a lot of Democrats do think that some Republicans will come with them on this vote, which would be a big jump from when the president was impeached in 2019.
And indeed, we saw some House Republicans come out last night saying they'll vote in favor of impeachment. Nellie, I want to close out by asking you about the repercussions of this looming vote. Members of the House will be up for re-election next year. Is this a vote that could have some staying power?
It's interesting. If you had asked me before the global pandemic if impeachment was going to matter to the 2020 elections, I would have said certainly. It would have put Democrats who were in districts that were supporting President Trump in a tough place. But we barely saw impeachment come up at all in the 2020 races around the country. Now, this is a vote that I have talked to many centrist Democrats about, and many Democrats who are likely to face tough races. And they do not feel like it's a hard vote. They feel as though their lives and the lives of their colleagues and staff were put on the line on Wednesday, and they feel as though the president should be held responsible. So we've seen nearly the entire Democratic caucus, except for about 7 to 8, sign on to this, to co-sponsor the impeachment article. And they did so really unflinchingly. Democrats who are in tough districts, Democrats that are in districts that Trump won by several points, they signed on to this article quite quickly.
Nellie Andrews, thank you for your thorough reporting. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And finally, lobster is usually an expensive delicacy, but in Australia, for the moment, it's recently become affordable. After a trade dispute with China, Australian lobstermen have been shut out of their biggest market, forcing a flood of crustaceans into the domestic market. Prices have dropped by as much as half the price compared to a year ago, convincing amateur chefs to make lobster at home. Just look at the numbers. One retailer has sold around 13,000 pounds of lobsters to local consumers, compared with less than 500 pounds the prior year. And that's what's news for this Wednesday. We're back, as always, with a new show tonight. Until then, you can keep track of the day's news on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.